I'm tired.
Freaky, baby girl.
Did you sleep on the wrong side? I'm catching a bad fire.
And it's contagious.
To fall asleep. What are the devices of falling asleep? What devices are employed to bring on the darkness, to cross over the threshold, to leap into the colourful black of dreams? Who is your Morpheus, your god of dreams, who shapes and reshapes himself and, in so doing, shapes our worlds of reverie too? Morpheus, son of Hypnos, the god of sleep, and Pasithea, the goddess of relaxation and rest. Morpheus could deposit messages from the gods into humans as they slept. His brother, Phobotos, made the plants dream, but he also made the scariest elements in dreams. The third son of Hypnos, named Phantasos, made the stones and other inanimate objects dream. And the dream elements over which he presided were the most unreal, tricky, fantastical. Morpheus lives in the land of dreams, where the river of forgetfulness and the river of oblivion flow. And he sleeps in this underworld in a dark cave lined with poppies. Poppies brought on his sleep, and as he slept, he shaped the dreams of all. What What brings on your sleep? Drugs too? Or something that stems from a world of self and other repression? Have you tried the military method? Apparently first reported by Sharon Ackerman in her book Relax and Win, Championship Performance. The military method for falling asleep was created by the US Navy pre-flight school and is said to work in under 2 minutes after 6 weeks' practice. Coffee and gunfire do not upset it, nor does the fact of sleeping upright in a chair. And so you must relax your entire face, including the muscles inside your mouth. Drop your shoulders to release the tension and let your hands drop to the side of your body. Exhale, relaxing your chest. Relax your legs, thighs, and calves. Clear your mind for 10 seconds by imagining a relaxing scene. And if this doesn't work, try saying the words, "Don't think," over and over for 10 seconds. Within 10 seconds, you should fall asleep. Don't think. Don't think.
future. In regards to jobs, middle class, and blue collar jobs, especially in terms, especially in regards to the obsolescence of certain jobs when it comes to automation, computers, and things like that. Concerned or worried about that at all, especially if you might have kids or anything like that. Okay. That's a bonus question. By the way, you'll get some extra points for that one based on your response. Do you like capitalism and how society is currently structured?
But are there routes to sleep through thought? Through nice thoughts, even if those are engaged in a fight against anxious thoughts. And the very contest can be so wearying, it results in collapse. Fight against anxious thoughts. When I was young and feared I could not fall asleep, I would ask my mother, "What shall I dream of?" She always said, "Dream of something nice, like a birthday party." If I could set the scene for a party, my whole being would crash through the staging in order to be in that world, that dream world, that sleep world.
Egg meat. "Mammy, do you want any errands?" "Yes, son. Go down to the ironmonger and buy me a pound of egg meat." "Egg meat? What's egg meat?" "Never you mind. Just go and buy it. Here's 5 shillings and I want the change." "All right. Mammy, can I have something?" "Yes, keep a penny and buy that." "Thanks. I'm away. Mammy, I'm back with the egg meat." "Have you got the change?" "Yes. The egg meat was 10p. Here's 4 and a penny. "Thank you. Now just you go out and play while I deal with the egg meat." "What are you going to do with the egg meat, Mammy?" "Ha ha, you silly boy. I'm going to feed it to the eggs." "Mammy, what do you mean, feed it to the eggs? That doesn't make sense." Son, I've never told you this, but I've got some eggs here. I keep them in a box." "Yes, Mammy, I know. We sometimes have an egg." "No, no, son. This is different eggs, and I feed them meat." "Mammy, why does the ironmonger sell egg meat?" "Well, somehow or other he could make it the best, and we just know the people that buy it around here where to buy it from, because he's the only one round here that has it." "Ha ha, you couldn't go into the dairy and ask for a pound of egg meat. They'd look at you askance, wouldn't they?" "Can I see the eggs?" "Oh, well, I'm not very keen to show you the eggs. They should really be kept in the dark. You see, they've nocturnal habits." "Ha ha ha, Mammy, you use these big words. I'm proud of you. You use the biggest words of any woman in our street. I heard you talking to Mrs. Machinery, and, oh, Mammy, these big words you used." "Gosh, and Mrs. Machinery's face wasn't half red." "That'll do, son. Now the egg meat. Smells fresh. Mammy, is egg meat always that colour?" No, not always. It's sometimes a bit more orangey, but this is the usual colour. It's got a funny smell, hasn't it? Yes, it's funny till you're used to it. Oh, Mammy, I love this. It's fun. Now show me how you feed it to the eggs. All right, come into the bedroom and pull the blinds. But if I do that, I'll not be able to see. I know. You've got to feed it to them in the dark. Just a minute. I'll leave the door a wee bit open so that a little light comes in, so that you don't tumble over things. Now, watch. There. Did you see the way they grabbed it? Ah, yes, it was wonderful. Mammy, can I buy egg meat for you every day? Yes, son, every day. You're a big boy now. You can buy egg meat for me every day.
Now, though, if I think nice thoughts, they often keep me awake. I become too involved in what I wish would be. I do not pass into the dream world. But nice thoughts are in short supply. More often there is anxiety. My strategy, which is one that I have used since my teenage years, is to mask my personal fears with collective fears, with the vast mass of collective worries, hatreds, anxieties, and banal chitter-chatter, which is talk radio, whose male voices, in their nonsense and provocations in time, within 30 minutes, send me fleeing from there and their callers' resentments into unconsciousness.
Agaricus campestris.
Locally common in pastures and meadows, August to November.
August to November. Cap white.
1 to 3 inches across.
Gills pink at first, darkening brown.
Stem short with a ring which in young specimens
is joined to the cap. No sheath at base of stem.
And no unpleasant smell.
Mushrooms have a special liking for meadows manured by horses, and the passing of horse-drawn transport has seriously affected the abundance of mushroom fields. There was a time when such fields might experience a whiteout, and the precisely right combination of temperature, humidity and soil condition produced so many mushrooms simultaneously that the field appeared to have been covered overnight by snow. I have heard of this happening to lucky villages, and of every portable container up to the size of the local bus being commandeered to take the crop in.
I've heard of this happening.
There are few grazing meadows which fail to produce some during the autumn months.
There are few grazing meadows which fail to produce some during the autumn months,
even in the most improbable settings.
On Friday, at 5:15 p.m.
I gathered £2 of fine mushrooms in Berkeley Square, London, W1, just inside the gate of the Lansdowne end, to be exact. A couple of yards from the traffic and evidently ignored or mistrusted by the many passers-by.
May I express my appreciation to Westminster Council for the welcome free garnish to this morning's breakfast, tonight's casserole, and the weekend's cock and bun. Letter and Evening Standard, October 5th, 1917.
Sleep is a flight. And sometimes we are too earthbound, even if our heads are in the clouds. The head teacher at my son's new school warned all us parents that children who use devices after 9 o'clock at night will not sleep. So they will not concentrate, so they will fail in all their efforts. They shall not be left to their own devices, and their own devices must be banished from the bedroom, lest they become addicted to this drug, this poppy, that does not induce sleep, but only endless sliding across the icy skin of the touch screen. Devices bring their own remediation. Kindly, they supply a light for us, a gentle one that is to induce sleep. For example, there is software called F-Lux. It adjusts the colour temperature of screens to reduce the blue light emitted, which is said to keep us awake. The programme knows where we are and when we are. It makes sure for us that the liquid crystal sunshine should spread at exactly the right moment. Our bluey screens turn orange-yellow, and this gets warmer and warmer as the night goes on. In contradictory form, the screen goes on, but it tries, perhaps half-heartedly, to edge us towards sleep, to push us over the edge in a warm sunlight that replaces the night stars. And all that so that the next day we might all the more determinedly resume our screen caresses.
Was one of the first modern synthetic pigments. It's also sometimes referred to as Berlin blue or Parisian blue. Structurally, it's made from a mix of iron in its two oxidation states, iron 2+ and iron 3+. The iron 2+ ion is coordinated with 6 cyanide groups, and then 3 of these groups are associated with 4 iron 3+ ions. Although it does contain cyanide, it's generally not very toxic because the groups are really tightly bound to the iron. The simplest use for Prussian blue is just as a pigment in things like paint and ink. A more complicated use, though, is in a process called cyanotyping, where it can be used to develop images onto paper. This is how most blueprints were made, and it's, well, why they turned out blue. It can be used to develop almost any image, and I think the whole process is really cool. One other potentially surprising use of it is actually as a medicine. It's apparently quite good at sequestering certain heavy metal poisons in the digestive tract, and it can prevent a lot of it from getting into the bloodstream. This video is going to be the first in a series of 3, and for this one, I'm going to be focusing on making and isolating the pigment. In the next 2, though, I'll be diving into the whole process of cyanotyping. The most common way to make Prussian blue is to mix a ferrocyanide salt with an iron 3+ salt, like ferric chloride. I wanted to make the ferrocyanide myself, but as far as I know, there isn't really an easy way to do it. So I just ended up buying some from eBay. If you do have what you think is a decent method though, you should definitely let me know in the comments. I can make the ferric chloride though, using hydrochloric acid, steel wool, and hydrogen peroxide. The acid and the steel wool are easy to find at the local hardware store, and the peroxide is just from the pharmacy. To start off, I added 225 ml of water, followed by an equal amount of concentrated hydrochloric acid. I mixed it around for about 30 seconds, and then I added some small pieces of steel wool. In total, I'll be adding 50 grams of it, but I wanted to start it off slowly, just to make sure that the bubbling didn't get out of control.
We fall asleep. Why do we fall asleep? Not everyone falls asleep. Only those, I think, who speak English. Others say einschlafen or sondormir, quedarse dormido, at somna or ukulala. But the English speakers have fallen into sleep since the 14th century at least, when Piers Plowman noted, ik fell efsons aslep. But this use of fall seems to draw on an earlier meaning of the verb, from the 13th century, meaning of a person to pass, usually with suddenness, in or into, to or upon some specified condition, bodily or mental, or some external condition or relation. As an anonymous monastic rule or manual for female anchoresses puts it, his verfall into unhop. We fall asleep. We fall in love. We fall ill. We fall pregnant. We fall for something. That is to say, rather, we do not fall. We become. We change our state of being, but it is as if we fall. It is as if we fall when our muscles relax, our blood pressure decreases, and we seem to fall through space and time into somewhere deep in a well. Sometimes I try to sleep by attempting to induce that state of falling. Falling off the thin surface of the rational world into the pits of sleep. Sometimes we do fall into sleep, suddenly. But such a fall is actually also its opposite, a twitch, a jerk upwards that wakes us. That is the hypnic jerk, the hypnagogic jerk, or sleep start, sleep twitch, myoclonic jerk, or night start. This involuntary twitch causes us to startle and jump up. We jump up, but we also feel as if we are falling. People experiencing a hypnic jerk report a peculiar sensory feeling of shock or falling into the void. A researcher at the University of Colorado has suggested that a hypnic jerk could be an archaic reflex to the brain's misinterpretation of muscle relaxation that comes with the onset of sleep. The brain reads it as a signal that the primate, now sleeping, is falling out of a tree and must be woken. Rock-a-bye baby in the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. Down will come baby, cradle and all. This is the first printed version of the well-known lullaby from Mother Goose's Melody from London, circa 1765. The baby falls from the tree, like an ape might do were it not to jerk awake. Perhaps the adult is rocking the baby to sleep, cradled in arms as the baby is lowered into the crib, and down she falls, down he falls. Others have argued that the lullaby is the first to be written in English on American soil by an English colonist who watched as indigenous American women placed their babies in birch bark cradles suspended from the branches of trees and allowed the wind to rock them to sleep. Another origin theory explains it as a reflection on a ritual that occurred after a newborn baby died. The dead child would be placed in a basket hanging on a tree, and those amassed waited to see if it would come back to life. If it were a dead weight, the branch carrying it would snap, the baby would fall. That lullaby is about a cradle. And so it truly is a cradle song. Not all are about the place of sleep. Though Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, from an early 19th century English poem by Jane Taylor, is about a place far away, a continent of the heavens that might be where we go to when we sleep. And Frère Jacques is about sleep, telling the one who is to fall asleep that Brother Jack himself may not be sleeping, indeed, should be ringing the bells to wake us all up again. These lullaby songs are to soothe. Their rhythms are repetitive and gentle, often in 6/8 time, with a swinging motion. They rock with words and rhythm into sleep. Like all old things that have existed since we were small and since our species were young, mist covers their origins. Some say that the word lullaby derives from Lilith Abai, Hebrew for Lilith begone. Get ye hent, Lilith, the demon who steals children's souls in the night. Others say that the word comes from the word to lull, which may mean a pause or a rest, or to sing, even if badly. Or perhaps is just a sound made with the mouth to soothe the child. Lull, lull, lull. Spliced then together with the word bye, from goodbye, God be with you, good night. Let the day lull, let us pause until morning.
Gone away, gone away, gone away. Hush-a-ba, Fluffy, hush-a-ba-ba. Who's the best rabbit that ever I saw? Hush-a-ba, Fluffy, hush-a-ba-ba. Who's the best rabbit that ever I saw? I'm singing you this lullaby, lullaby, lullaby. I'm singing you this lullaby, lullaby, lullaby. I'm singing you this lullaby, lullaby, lullaby. I'm singing you this lullaby, lullaby, lullaby.
Lullabies have been sung by caregivers seeking to send their charges to sleep for many, many years in ordinary environments. Sung out of or in tune, sung sweetly, always as an intimate domestic act. But composers of the classical world of music have donated their share of lullabies too. The berceuse of Chopin and Busoni, Stravinsky and Tchaikovsky, and the vegan leader of Schubert and Brahms. For example, the latter being the stuff of music boxes. Brahms, it is said, suffered from the sleep disorder sleep apnea, startling himself awake with an untuneful snort repeatedly through the night. A cradle song, a vegan lead, should summon up sleep again, counter the disturbance. I always found the final words of the first verse of Brahms' vegan lead not reassuring or calming, but disturbing, terrifying, with their insistence on God's whims. Guten Abend, gute Nacht, mit Hosen bedacht, mit Näglein besteckt, schlüpf unter die Deck. Morgen früh, wenn Gott will, willst du wieder geweckt. Good evening, good night, covered with roses, adorned with carnations. Slip under the covers, early tomorrow, if God wills it, you will wake up once again. This lullaby by Brahms was used in a public warning calm advertisement for a car device, the SEAT Tiredness Recognition System. The advertisers, Grey, seemed to recognise the death that suffuses this gentle song. Lullaby, awake tonight, in the sky stars are bright. May the moon's silvery beams stop your driving dreams. Open your eyes, don't fall asleep, or your mother will weep. Crashed on the road at dawn, or because of a little yawn. Lullaby, stay awake tonight, you are mother's delight. If you sleep, you'll come to harm, don't die in my arms. The SEAT Tiredness Recognition System. Hard to fall asleep to, drive awake. But it does not always take music to lull into sleep. I know some who let their lovers' voices intoning Joyce's Ulysses or Finnegan's Wake lure them into sleep. Sometimes it is a voice that drones, that exudes monotony and so ferries the waker into the dreaming zone. Perhaps a learned philosopher, lecturing with all the gravitas of one who knows he is born to guard all the secrets and to convey them to the specks of dust. Those tiny lumps of impure carbon and water, of complicated structure with somewhat unusual physical and chemical properties, crawl about for a few years until they are dissolved again into the elements of which they are compounded.
Inwards, while
is an LED just around the corner of the eye that was about to close, but opens and opens and opens, opens the green eye, the not yet green bud opens. A light emitting diode, voltage runs, electrons recombine, energy manifested as photons, visible to the closing, now open eye.
Dissolving ourselves, dissolving into sleep. It is also strange that, as perhaps the military method for sleeping suggests, our body might fall asleep in stages. In English again, the phrase states that our leg or foot has fallen asleep, or our arm is asleep. These body parts, if their nerves are squashed or crushed under our own weight for too long a time, give way beneath us when we stand, or fail to function when we reach out, and they tingle, which we sometimes describe as the sensation of pins and needles. Other languages, Hindi, Portuguese, Italian, for example, call it feeling ants or running ants. Rendered perhaps in that film of dreams, Louis Buñuel's Un chien andalou, when ants swarm across a hand. But such an image is nightmarish. It is not advisable to fall asleep with nightmarish images in your ambit, nor after eating cheese. How nightmarish might be an image of endless identikit sheep leaping over a fence or gambling across a hillock. Sheep after sheep. Some years ago, researchers explored, probably for the thousandth time, whether counting sheep could make a person fall asleep. Three groups of willing sleepers were summoned. The first were asked to imagine tranquil scenes, a waterfall, a babbling brook. The second to act as they always act, a control group. The third were requested to count imaginary sheep leaping over a fence one by one. The first group fell asleep 20 minutes faster than usual, but the sheep counters took longer than usual to fall asleep. Had the visualizers of glittering water expended more mental energy, exhausting themselves more rapidly? Were the sheep tallymen so bored they had to hold at their task in some strange way and could not drift? Parents are, for a while, the gatekeepers of nightmares, there to chase away the bad spirits. Their work is greatly eased by devices these days, apps that tinkle lullabies or emit the rhythmic lapping of waves, or the churning, distant heartbeat sounds that are akin to those heard in the womb. There are plenty of YouTube videos and such like that act as gatekeepers in the absence of any other. Mini Monsters Music introduces another great sleep aid to help your baby to drift off to sleep. This video is based on the classic repetition of counting sheep. As they jump across the screen, the video is accompanied by a gentle rendition of Brahms's lullaby, which softly fades into our popular womb sound ambience as your little one starts to drift off to sleep. To drift, to float on the sea of oblivion, all lapped and tethered, if only electronically. Amazon Echo, Google Home, play me recordings of babbling brooks and cicadas so I can drift in my mind from here where there is only the buzz of the fridge. Call up the podcast, Sleep With Me, for a story so dull it sends me running into the hills of my inner mind where it is not. The narrator's voice is raspy, flat and slow, and his stories are composed of sentences that are labyrinthine, trapping us in ifs, ors and sos, in digressions without purpose and in self-questioning. YouTube will supply countless videos of people whispering or carrying out humdrum tasks. Playlists can dish up electronic and ambient music and white noise said to induce deep relaxation. There are devices. The Tranquil Moments bedside speaker and sleep sounds from Brookstone has a roster of sleep sounds. Soothing sleep sounds. Ocean surf, thunderstorm, rain, unwind, white noise, celestial, summer night, brown noise, stream, focus, body sink, and white rain. Science assures us of its effectivity. Backed by more than 25 years of clinical research, the Tranquil Moments trademark sound programs are based on the delta, alpha, and theta brainwave patterns associated with deep states of sleep, relaxation, and renewal. When we listen to these sounds, our brains gradually try to match their rhythms, just as we unconsciously adopt the rhythm or tune of a song on the radio. When this happens, our minds are coaxed into the deep, restorative states of sleep and relaxation that are essential for us to perform at our best throughout the day. For it is always about performance. The next day. To not fall asleep is to hold the next day hostage, to jeopardize the future and not to divine it. And the implication is that what one needs to do is to relax, to fall into sleep as the muscles let go of the daily upright world. We drift into sleep. Music ferries us across the river of forgetting for a few hours, where we lie languidly on its shores, basking in the sun of rhythmic dreams. A recent study in PLOS One, though, titled "The Music That Helps People Sleep and the Reasons They Believe It Works," a mixed methods analysis of online survey reports by Tabitha Trahan, Simon J. Durant, Daniel Mullensiefen, Victoria J. Williamson, responds to the rise in sales of sleep-inducing pharmaceuticals, up 31% in the UK between 2006 and 2011. Pharmacies within the UK dispensed more than 15.2 million prescriptions for sleep aids during 2010 to 11. Equating to £50 million, or nearly 1 in 10 adults taking some form of pharmaceutical intervention on a regular basis. In the United States, a survey suggested a 293% increase in the number of sleep-related prescriptions, up from 5.3 to 20.8 million prescriptions from 1999 to 2010. To listen to music for their test subjects was not about relaxation so much as distraction. As the report's authors put it, the use of music as a distractor was a prominent theme, with distraction against thoughts, and particularly negative thoughts, a frequent comment that would benefit from further research. Negative thoughts are one of the main contributors to sleep loss in people with insomnia. Oftentimes a person wants nothing more than to fall into sleep, fall away from the world by tumbling further into it, by becoming bound to it, to fall into the arms of Morpheus, to nuzzle a winged ear, to fall into the underworld, to dream about what is to come, to have thoughts deposited in the mind by the Oniroi. How do we fall asleep? How do we fall asleep when we are constantly enticed to be awake, lest we miss something? What carries us through the gates? And we should be carried away. Should be in the dark cave, for anything else jeopardizes us. The headlines a few days ago stated, falling asleep in front of the TV could increase the risk of obesity, study finds. And so it goes on. Women exposed to artificial light at night were more likely to gain weight and become obese or overweight over the next 5 years. According to a study of almost 44,000 people, the findings, published in Journal JAMA Internal Medicine, suggest that eliminating lights and screens from the bedroom could be another way to tackle the obesity crisis, study authors said. What is this light that bothers us, even when we are unaware of it? Why does it make more of us, as it by day steals our capacity to dream, to think, to imagine? What do our devices do to us, even as we lose consciousness? Ponder these questions tonight as you fall asleep, or add them to tomorrow's to-do list.
Been listening to Sleep Bait with words from Esther Leslie, arranged and edited by Florence Warner, performed first at Mayday Rooms on the 14th of July 2019, just in time for sunset at 9:19 p.m. It was produced by Sam Dolbar, Georgia Anderson and Rosemary Grennan as part of Mayday Radio, with original sleep tapes by Charles Verney, Daniel Niafutu, Eugene Lee,